I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today is Thursday, January 20th, 2022. The time is 1:04 p.m. Please silence all cell phones. Members present today are Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Wilikowski. Senator Olson is joining us by teleconference. Senator Wilson is excused. He's at Senate Hess running another committee. Senator Hoffman is excused. And Senator Von Himhoff is here, and myself, Senator Bishop. Today's agenda, SB 9, Alcoholic Beverage Control, Alcoholic Reg Packages, bills previously heard. SB 9 is in its second hearing of this bill in this session. And we had a reintroduction of the bill yesterday. Our intention is to hear public testimony today, set the bill aside. We'll limit public testimony to 2 minutes, and I've already messed up and didn't check with records and our teleconference moderators. I guess we're good to go. Nobody's throwing flags at me. Okay, good. Apologize for that. Okay, 2 minutes for public testimony for those online. And please put yourself on the record and proceed. And we're going to start with Josh Hinga, Girdwood Brewing Company in Girdwood, Alaska. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, give us another mic check. We're turning up the volume right now.
Okay, can you hear it now?
Yes. Your name and affiliation on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Copy that. My name is Josh Hegna. I'm the co-founder of Girdwood Brewing Company. We support SB 9 as it's good for us and other small businesses within our local tourism-focused community. Girdwood Brewing Company is about to celebrate our fifth anniversary, and I'm proud we now employ over a dozen locals with year-round jobs. These are good-paying, diverse jobs in both the hospitality and manufacturing sectors. SB 9 would help us grow our business, enrich our community, and hire more individuals. The hospitality industry has been hit hard during the pandemic, and we could use some help. Please support small Alaskan businesses and get SB 9 across the finish line this year. Thank you. Any questions?
I see no questions from committee. Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Matt Tometer, owner Matt Nuska Brewing in Palmer. Matt, if you're there, could you put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please?
Yes, this is Matt Tometer with Matt Nuska Brewing. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. I'm going to have him turn it up just a skosh. Okay, try that.
How's that? Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
I can talk pretty loud. I'm good at that, too. Great. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to let you know how I feel. We own, in our group, we own Matanuska Brewing Company has a brewery, a cidery, or a winery license, a distillery license, a bottles works license, two beverage dispensary licenses, and two package store licenses, and they're all owned by different LLCs with different ownership groups, and all it's just absolutely crazy how that has to work. We totally support SB 9, would like to see that pass this year. We're involved in all aspects of the alcohol business in Alaska, and this would sure make things a lot simpler for us, would allow us to streamline things with CHAR and with the ABC board. It would allow licenses to be stacked where we're not playing games with different LLCs and different ownership percentages and all this stuff, which is just crazy. We just want to be able to get out there and do business and grow our brand. So anyways, I'm in support of this. After this last couple of years, it sure has been crazy. Anything to make it better is a good move right now. So that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'm here to answer any.
Thank you. Seeing no questions, we're going to move to Sitka. No, Evan Wood in Devil's Club Brewing in Juneau. Excuse me.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me as well?
Excellent.
All right. Thanks to the chair and the board for the opportunity to testify. My name is Evan Wood. I'm with Devil's Club Brewing Company, for the record, and we're calling in support of this legislation as well. It is the result of many hours of collaboration, compromise, and reconciliation of differences among many stakeholders in the industry. We believe it clarifies and streamlines many aspects to licensing, that will be helpful to new businesses trying to enter the industry, as well as providing business opportunities for many of the members already in the industry. The past 2 years have obviously been very arduous and difficult for our industry, and we firmly believe that this legislation will help us recover from the pandemic. And we're really proud of the progress and compromises that we've reached that are sitting here before you today. So we hope you will support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Seeing no questions, we're going to move to Stanley Filler. He's the owner of Ernie's Bar in Sitka.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please state your name for the record in 2 minutes, please.
Yes, my name is, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Stan Filler, and I own Ernie's Bar in Sitka. I'm calling you today to testify in support of Senate Bill 9 as written. Bars and restaurants in Sitka have been hit very hard during this pandemic. The changes in this bill will provide stability, consistency for our industry, and streamline processes that will help our businesses. Urge you to pass the bill out of committee onto the Senate floor. Thanks for your consideration and your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Seeing no questions, we're going to go to Anchorage. Cynthia Drinkwater, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. If you please put yourself on the record and proceed.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Cynthia Drinkwater. My husband and I own Sinisher Brewing, a small brewery in Anchorage. We've been in business for almost 5.5 years. I'm testifying today in support of SB 9. This bill represents hours and hours, well, actually years and years of very hard work by many people from a range of diverse organizations and businesses, and it's a critical step in modernizing Alaska's alcohol statutes. The past 2 years have been very challenging for the brewing industry, and we're hopeful that the changes provided in SB 9 will allow for some growth of our small business and for other businesses as well. So thank you for your time, and I urge your support for SB 9.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go to the Mat-Su Borough. Mr. George Hayes, Deputy Manager, Mat-Su Borough. Can you hear us?
Good afternoon. Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Excellent. Yes, please put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is George Hayes. I'm the Deputy Borough Manager. Good afternoon, Honorable Senators. First, I want to thank Senator Shelley Hughes for bringing forward this amendment to Senate Bill 9 to allow for more local control over alcohol licensing, and we appreciate Senator Showers, along with other members of the Judiciary Committee, supporting voting on that amendment. The Mat-Su Borough is a second-class borough, and state law, which currently exists on alcohol licensing for second-class boroughs, needs to be revised. State law currently allows us to set up a dry borough, a damp borough. It allows us to protest specific licenses, but there's no mechanism to increase alcohol licenses, and that is the problem. Here in the Mat-Su, some restaurants operate with a dispensary license, which the ABC staff are calling bar licenses. But there are no additional dispensary licenses available in the Mat-Su or our cities. Therefore, no restaurants with a business model for dispensary licenses can locate here. Over the years, there have been discussions about restaurants locating out here, such as Olive Garden, Outback Steakhouse, Cattle Company, Sullivan's, Texas Roadhouse, and Applebee's. However, they will not locate here without a liquor license. As a comparison, right now there's a co-regulation on marijuana, but there are no limitations on marijuana licenses set by state law, and it is working well here. In addition, in the Mat-Su and in our cities, there are no additional package licenses available. So there is no chance for any additional growth of package stores out here in the borough, even though our borough has the state's highest population increases. In the last 10 years, our population increased 10.3%, and then the decade before that, 49.9%. And we're the only municipality in the state with consistent increases in population, but we cannot have any increases in liquor licenses. We would also like to see additional package stores here like Fred Meyer's, Carr's, Costco, but they are not interested without a liquor license. What does this mean to our citizens? It means that we have the fastest growing municipality in the state for 20 years. However, we can't expand our restaurants and package stores proportionally. It means our economic growth is hamstrung by an outdated state law that needs modified. It means that our citizens have to travel inordinate distances to go to restaurants that they could go to out here in the borough if this state law is changed. For instance, 100 miles round trip from Wasilla to those stores is what we do now, 160 miles from Willow and 240 miles from Talkeetna. This is not reasonable when we have a solution at hand, and we ask your support on approving this amendment that will provide that solution. The current state law severely limits the Mat-Su Borough and other municipalities from economic development. It not only supports the borough, but it also supports 15 of 19 other boroughs and 129 of 140 cities in the state who do not qualify to petition the ABC board for additional licenses. We are requesting your support to pass this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We'll take a brief of these. Back on the record. Next, we're going to go to Sherry Steed, owner of Grace Ridge Brewing in Homer. Sherry, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
I'm Sherry Steed, Grace Ridge Brewing. I am testifying today to not change the current brewery and tap room requirements and keep it at one tap room per 3,000 population. Do not. And please amend it to not be one per 12,000 population. And my ask today is not for me. It is for the new business opportunities that will be lost if the license for a tap room goes to one per 12,000 population. We've been open for 5 years, and our tap room is part of the community. We have First Friday art. We have knitting groups, Christmas parties, dog training classes. We do a nonprofit every month. We have pie auctions, art auctions. We donate our tips back to the community. And in the 5 years we have been that our customers have been doing that, we have donated back over $100,000 back into the city of Homer and their nonprofits. And if this current law was in effect, we would not be able to do this with these proposed changes. This bill, SB 99, triples fees for breweries and tap rooms, basically stops all brewery and tap room growth in smaller communities that already have a tap room. Breweries are being unfairly targeted. We are not over-licensed. All other licenses in every community are. We have serving limits. No other licenses do. We have the 36 ounces per person per day. No other licenses have that requirement. We have limited operating hours, very strict. No other licenses have that much of a limited hour. Our fees are almost tripling. No other fees are. Some fees are going down by 50%. I feel it has been a privilege to be part of the Alaska brewing community. We were accepted right at the very beginning when we were so naive, we were so clueless, we didn't even know how naive we were. But I am asking that this SB 9 has an amendment where it keeps the tap rooms one every population 3,000. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next up in the room, we'll have Niles Andreessen come up and testify. He's in person in the room, so he'll be next. Please join us at the table, and you know the drill, sir.
It's been a while. For the record, my name's Nils Andreas, and I'm the executive director of the Alaska Municipal League. Thank you for your attention to SB 9 today. I have 19 pages of prepared remarks ready. I'm going to restrict myself, though, to I think the most cogent points. First, AML members have actively participated in the development of this bill over the last 11-plus years in a variety of ways. This last November, AML members passed unanimously positions that that I think correspond to Deputy Manager George Hayes' comments related to co-management of the marijuana industry and encouraging the marijuana and alcohol licensing to become more streamlined and encouraging local control and removing some of the limits on economic growth. Members also passed unanimously a position emphasizing more local control over Title IV and alcohol licensing. I do, though, I guess when I think about our positions and principle of local control, they fit into all of this conversation about Title IV. I also recognize that this builds on 12 years plus worth of work. And I don't know that untangling this legislation at this point leads to the outcomes that we've heard from industry, enforcement authorities, public health, and majority of communities need right now, including and especially in response to the economic recovery post-COVID. We understand that the decade-long effort to move this forward and the sponsor's leadership in bringing the bill ever closer to the finish line is critical. We recognize the significant steps the sponsor has taken to build consensus and balance the interests of industry and public health. We have members who absolutely believe that, without amendments related to local control, we can and should not support this bill. We have members who see some of the changes within this bill as necessary next steps and improvements that enhance local control, and many members who are very supportive. And it's true that SB 9 makes huge strides to update Alaska's liquor laws, and in particular for local governments, it improves the petition and other processes. AML is entirely appreciative of that aspect and the improvements that have been made to try and address local government needs and involvement. I don't think we can take lightly the concerns raised by local governments, even as we recognize this legislation is a compromise between all the parties that have been involved so far. We anticipate and support future conversations about how to fine-tune Alaska's approach to alcohol licensing to meet our goals of local control and economic development. These will deserve careful attention, a deeper dive as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to Darwin Bauer, Darwin's Theory, Girdwood. Please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Yes, my name is Darwin Bauer. I'm owner of Darwin's Theory, which is in downtown Anchorage. I've been the owner of Darwin's Theory for over 40 years. And over those 40 years, I've seen a lot of changes in Title IV. And I was involved in the 10 years it's taken for this bill to get this far as it is now. I'm in favor of the bill as it stands. If you start messing with it again, we'll just be back where we were before. This needs to be passed as it is, and then any changes that need to be made can be made further. But there's so many changes, there's so many things in this bill that are critical to try to straighten out and make Title IV consistent with the current public involvement. So I'm in favor of that as it stands, and no amendment to this bill, SB 9, as it is now. We can always go forward after this and change anything that needs to be changed in a later date. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to Melissa Walter. She's only for questions, I'm sorry. Jason Davis, Self and Homer. Mr. Davis?
Hi. Yeah, I'm Jason Davis of Sweet Gale Meadworks and Cider House in Homer. I'm calling in hopes of convincing you to amend SB 9 in a way that would make it more supportive of young entrepreneurs who have dreams of opening a craft brewing operation. Craft brewing has been growing so much throughout the U.S. And, you know, at my meadery here in Homer, every single ingredient I use is local. I buy thousands of pounds of honey from local beekeepers. I also support local farmers and foragers by buying thousands of pounds of berries and fruit from them. And you would think that a major piece of legislation like SB 9 that's meant to be charting our course for the future would have been structured in a way that supported or even favored new craft brewers. But if you read the fine print of this bill, you'll see that the exact opposite is true. For the past 30 years, a city of 12,000 people in Alaska has been permitted to have up to 4 breweries and 4 wineries. But if this bill passes, that same city of 12,000 would only be allowed 1 brewery tap room and 1 winery tasting room rather than 4. Imagine that. No more than 1 brewery in a city of 12,000 people that probably goes to 30 or 40,000 people in the summer. Here in Homer, where I serve on the city council, this bill would prevent aspiring brewers from opening a single new brewery or winery until our population more than quadruples from what it is today. If I wanted to take a self-centered view, I could welcome the fact that it will be decades before there's any new competition for my products. I think that is maybe why so many established brewers and the Brewers Guild are speaking in favor of this legislation. But I don't see this as a zero-sum game. A vibrant and growing craft brewing scene is something that would benefit everyone in Alaska. And that's why I'm urging you to amend the winery and brewery taproom population limits in this bill before it leaves your committee. You don't have to untangle the whole bill. You just have to change that one point that lets us have a few new wineries and breweries in the state, because this bill does not allow for that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to Wasilla. Elizabeth Ripley, Matsu Health Foundation. Elizabeth?
Committee Chairs Bishop and Stedman, members of the committee, my name is Elizabeth Ripley, and I serve as President and CEO for the Matsu Health Foundation. We share ownership in Matsu Regional Medical Center and invest our share of the profits back into the community to improve the health and wellness of Alaskans living in Matsu. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today in support of SB 9. It's well past time for Alaska to update its alcohol laws. Year after year, we hear the same story when researching health in Matsu. Alcohol and substance misuse are ranked by the community as the number one health issue in our region. Our local police chiefs tell us their number one challenge is alcohol, alcohol, alcohol. At our local emergency department, alcohol-related disorders are the number one behavioral health admission. We engage in many strategies for reducing the harm of alcohol misuse, from preventing underage drinking to promoting resilient youth, families, and communities. Another strategy is this bill, the result of partnership with the alcohol industry and many stakeholders working together over many years to provide input into legislation that promotes responsible alcohol use by adults, reduces underage consumption, and supports better enforcement of Alaska's alcohol laws. And while our interest is primarily public health, it is worth noting that this bill also has benefits for local businesses and that a sound economy is an important aspect of a healthy community. Thank you again for taking time to hear this bill today. We respectfully ask you to move it forward as it has health benefits for all Alaskans.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Brady, past chair of the ABC board, Fairbanks, or can you hear us?
Greetings and thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members, for your consideration. I am urging you to pass this bill as it currently stands. I've been an industry member for the past 24 years, founder of Silver Gulch Brewing, past chair of the Alaska Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, Alaska Char, and a member of the Title IV Stakeholders Working Group since its inception over a decade ago, as well as a lifelong Alaskan and parent. This bill, as it stands, as has been stated, represents thousands of hours of compromise between diverse stakeholders groups. And while it doesn't necessarily appeal to every constituency, it is a much needed and vital overhaul to Title IV that will enhance and create a framework for a more stable, coherent regulatory environment of the industry. So I'd urge your consideration and passage for this bill in its current form. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Tell your mom hello.
Shall do. Thank you, sir.
Yep. Next, we're going to go to Don Grassi, President of the Alaska Beer, Wine, and Spirits Association, President of K&L Distributors, Anchorage. Mr. Grassi?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, sir.
Okay. My name's Don Grassi. First of all, thank you, Mr. Chairman and the committee. My name's Don Grassi. I'm the President of K&L Distributors, as well as the President of the Beer, Liquor, and Wine Wholesalers Association in Alaska. Just wanted to reach out to the group and let you know that this bill has spanned over 10 years with lots of stakeholders and a lot of collaboration, and our group is in support of the bill as it's currently written.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Next, we'll go to Paul Thomas, Alaska Cash, here in Juneau. Mr. Thomas, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Please proceed.
Thank you for taking testimony today. I'm Paul Thomas. I am a package store owner right here in downtown Juneau, Alaska Cash Liquor, right here on Franklin Street. I would like to offer my support for this bill. It has been a need for a long time to update Title IV. And this is a good package that all sectors and license types of the industry have had input in now. Stakeholders from outside the industry have also been heavily involved to help get this package, whether it's health or enforcement. As you all know, there have been countless hours and input from all of these sectors for years now. And you now have a bill in front of you that you have heard is supported by all these sectors. This bill will offer stability to our industry after years of questions. The bill will make it easier for licensees to follow what is required of them. The bill will make it reasonable and more concise for enforcement for all. I hate to pull the pandemic card, as it has affected all of us so much in so many ways, but the hospitality industry has been hit harder than any. Restaurants and bars being forced to close with no revenue at times. Even my package store here in Juneau, which some may not consider part of the normal hospitality sector, has been heavily affected by the lack of business and non-existent tourist season of late. Passing this bill will add stability back into our industry, helping stabilize the value of license types and our businesses in unpredictable times, giving people looking at jumping into the industry confidence that the rules won't change under them as soon as they invest, giving longtime license holders the confidence to move forward with new plans inside a clean, easy-to-follow setup of rules that supports all kinds of licenses, not just small, individual, one-off desires for expansion. Thank you, and I hope you can support this bill and move it forward.
Thank you very much. Next up, we're going to go to Fairbanks, Mr. Patrick Levy. Mr. Levy, can you hear us?
Yes, I sure can. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Please put your name on the record in 2 minutes, sir.
Okay, thank you. For the record, my name is Patrick Levy. I'm the owner of Fairbanks Distilling Company, which is located in Fairbanks, Alaska. Thank you, Chairman Bishop and the Senate Finance Committee members, for allowing me to testify before you. As you all are aware, manufacturers in Alaska are not plentiful. A state legislature should be encouraging their success by not enacting laws that impede the distribution of their products. It is currently illegal for me to ship my manufactured products directly to consumers in Alaska, where it is legal for other manufacturers in other states, such as California, Illinois, Florida, and New York, to distribute their products directly to their residents. Vineyards in California can send bottles of wine directly to Alaskan consumers. Does this make sense, that Alaskan manufacturers cannot do the same? SB 9 is purported to be a bill to modernize Alaska's alcohol laws. I would urge the Alaska legislature to amend this bill to allow direct-to-consumer, DTC, shipping via FedEx and UPS to modernize these laws to help Alaska's manufacturers and other, as other states have done. Thank you for your service to Alaska and Alaskans. Any questions?
No, we'll go to questions at the end of the testimony today. I'll bring the chair up. So thank you. Next, we're going to go to Mayor Glenda Ledford, City of Wasilla. City of Wasilla, Mayor Glenda Ledford, are you there? We'll just go to Jessica Vieira, Wasilla Chamber of Commerce, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes. Please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Jessica Vieira from Wasilla, Alaska, calling on behalf of the Greater Wasilla Chamber of Commerce. We are opposed to the population-based licensing thresholds in the proposed legislation and support the amendment allowing for increased local control over licensing. Local control has been a long-standing priority of the Wasilla Chamber. We have long seen the state impose population limits on alcohol licenses as a barrier to business and something that should rest in the hands of qualified municipalities to decide what they are able to handle. The Greater Wasilla area is rapidly expanding and is, in fact, one of the only areas of the state that is. But we are unique. Most of our population does not live in the city center. Instead, our population sprawls outside the city limits in the Greater Wasilla area. But the city centers are where we gather to eat, to drink, work, and celebrate our communities. By limiting the number of licenses in the city centers based on the population living within the city limits, you not only negatively impact the population of the greater area, but you stifle economic development in the city and borough and prevent business development and growth. Wasilla has done an amazing job of attracting businesses. We are the retail hub of the valley and can boast many great places to eat, activities to partake in, but we're starting to hit walls and barriers to business, the biggest of which is the inability to access additional liquor licensing, from beer and wine licenses to full pour and package store licenses. Population-based licensing reduces our ability to attract new businesses, from locally owned and developed businesses to larger corporate chains. Without access to licensing, they won't come. We ask that you continue to support the amendment allowing for increased local control over licensing and support economic growth in the state, not further restrict it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We're going back to the mayor, Glenda Ledford, City of Wasilla. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes. Put 2 minutes, please.
Thank you. Thank you to the chair and the committee members for allowing this testimony. I am Glenda Ledford, mayor for the City of Wasilla. And as a first-class city, we've done a great job controlling our own destiny. We are debt-free and continue to be the fastest-growing city in the state and the economic hub of Mat-Su Borough. SB 9 is an economic barrier to the state's quote of being open for business as well as the city's quote open for business. We have companies that want to come to the city and to the state, but they won't because they cannot get a liquor license. But if they want to sell marijuana, you can judge our border because when you see the first marijuana store, you know you're outside the city of Wasilla because our population voted against having marijuana stores in the city. They also voted to have a wet city back in 1974. So with SB 9 and the population limit, like Jessica said, our population is outside our boundaries. We will never have another license with the population limit as it stands now. So you're telling the people of the Mat-Su Valley, we want you to drive 2 hours to Anchorage just to go to Olive Garden. or tell Keetna. You're telling them they 3 hours to go. You are doing a disservice to the city as well as the borough of the Matsu Valley with this SB 9. Are there any questions?
No, and you hit your 2 minutes right on the mark. Well done. So thank you for your testimony, and we're going to go to stay in Wasilla. Robert Yunt, Matsu Borough Assembly Member. Robert, can you hear us?
Anybody there? Yes, sir. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can. Please proceed. 2 minutes with your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Robert Nurse. I am the District 4 of Matsu Borough Assemblyman. I am a representative to the Greater Wasilla area for the Matsu Borough. I'd like to speak for increased local control and show my support for that. As mentioned before by the mayor and some others, we're hurting bad out here. We're trying to attract new business. And what happens is we have hardly anybody that lives inside City Limits of Wasilla, but we have everybody in the surrounding area. They all flow to the center of the city to use the same couple of restaurants and stores, and we cannot expand on these. We cannot attract the Costco's or the multiple restaurants, as mentioned before, the other packaging places without this. And so I just wanted to add that we've got the third largest police department in the state. We've got our own police department here. We've got a jail. The way alcohol is treated this summer is still a prohibition mentality. This is not how marijuana is treated now, but that's only because this legislation for marijuana has really started coming about in the last, say, 20 years, and it led to eventually becoming legal in many states. It's fairly easy to get a marijuana license. It is impossible to get an alcohol one. So I think Shelley Hughes, I thank the chair and the committee for listening, and I hope that we can work towards a final package that does include increased local control. So thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Next, we're going to go to Stu Graham from Wasilla. Mr. Graham, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes. Please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Stu Graham. I live in the city of Wasilla. I'm a third-term assembly person, chair, city council person for the city of Wasilla. And I have been part of this discussion for a great many years, talking about revisions to SB4, which are definitely needed. The current revisions to SB4 that you have before you are a great step forward in many areas, but refuse to acknowledge the ability of local governments to control what's happening inside their boundaries. Boundaries are currently defined by population, not by, as persons before you have said, not by the persons that come into the area to live, to work, and to play. But without the ability for the locals to control, the local governments to control the number of licenses and the types of licenses in their boundaries, economic development is definitely stifled. The state can provide assistance with economic development, but economic development happens at a local level. For us to be able to attract additional industry, for us to be able to attract additional retail, which brings in additional food security for us here in the Matsu Borough and here in the city of Wasilla, we need to be able to have control of our own licensing. We need to be able to attract restaurants. We need to be able to attract big stores. We need to be able to attract industry by saying we have the amenities that they want to have for their people when they move into the area. Local governments, are not limited strictly by the boundaries drawn by the city limits. The local governments represent the citizens of not only of the persons within the city limits, but also the citizens of the greater area. And that's one of the things that we're working on. I appreciate all the work that has gone into this, and I appreciate your continued work on this. But as it currently stands, the bill absolutely must be amended to allow for local control of all licenses in jurisdictions where they have the capability and have proven the capability to exercise that control. I thank you for your time, and I thank you for all your work, and I hope you have a great day today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Graham. Next, we're going to go to Jerome Hertel, Alaska State Fair, Palmer. Can you hear us, Mr. Hertel, Mr. Jerome Hertel? Let's go to City of Wasilla, Crystal Nygaard. Crystal, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Oh, excellent. Please put yourself on the record and 2 minutes of testimony, please.
Thank you. This is Crystal Nygaard, Deputy Administrator for the City of Wasilla, and I called today to show my support for SB 9, the way it's currently written, which is granting local control. And I also want to thank the Senator and the committee for all of their continued work on this issue over the years. I joined the City of Wasilla back in April of 2021 after 30 years of owning multiple businesses. My role here is to focus on economic development, so I wanted to share some market intelligence and business trends we're seeing locally that would pertain to SB 9. First, Wasilla continues to grow. I don't think that's any surprise to anyone, but the population is growing around the businesses that are moving here within this within our city. The most recent census reports that the City of Wasilla is home to almost 11,000 residents, and that is a growth of almost 40%. We were there back in 2000 when the census came out too, this 40% growth. Second, Wasilla is the business and retail hub of the valley. Most of you have been to Wasilla and shopped in Wasilla, but you might not know that it is home to 80 national chains. Of those national chains, some are in the restaurant and food industries, and others are located in other parts of the states with a current alcohol license, but not in Wasilla. Third, to date, we have about 2,500 businesses that are transacting each day inside and outside of our city limits, of which around 500 of them are related to alcohol in some way, so that's about 20% of our businesses. What we continue to hear from them, the main concern that they have is the petition requirements for public convenience restaurant license. Even if there's only a need for 50% of the population within a one-mile radius, it's very often hard to get 300 signatures. Most of the restaurants needing a full liquor license are frustrated by the unavailability of a full liquor license, and most chains aren't okay with just beer and wine, which is all that is allowed by the public convenience license. Lastly, as all of you know, Wasilla is one of the few first-class cities on the road system. We're seeing an increased amount of applications in the hospitality sector, whether it's hotels or restaurants, and that number is increasing by the number of permits we're trying to issue. Local control is crucial in this rebuilding post-COVID economy, and it is just one of the many things you can do to help support our businesses. It will create jobs and economic development, and it will benefit not only our city, but the region and the state. After 10 years of discussion, now is the time to act for the legislature to grant this local control to cities like ours and enable us to have the right tools necessary to compete in a robust economy for the benefit of the state and be a part of the global market. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to stay in Wasilla. Mr. Kevin Thompson, Links Development, are you with us?
I'm with you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, sir.
My name is Kevin Thompson. I'm president of Links Development Group. We work with outside and local businesses to develop industry within our community. Right now, we are seeing pullback from a lot of the hospitality industries from the Matsu Valley because there is not local control over the liquor licenses. We're here to support local control from Wasilla to their liquor licenses. As a development group, we're always looking at patterns of behavior and history. Wasilla has shown a great pattern of behavior of responsibility in their finances and in other sectors. I see no problem in giving them the opportunity to show their further responsibility in liquor licenses. Do you have any questions?
No, sir, we don't, and seeing none from committee members, thank you. Next, we'll go to Beverly, Schoenover, Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse in Juneau. Beverly, can you hear us?
Yeah, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes. Please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Bishop and members of the committee. This is Beverly Schoonover, Executive Director of the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse and the Alaska Mental Health Board. These statewide advisory boards are tasked with evaluating federal and state laws concerning alcohol, mental health, and substance misuse. The proposed revisions in SB 9 are a comprehensive package of proposals that will improve the overall system of alcohol regulation in Alaska, and our boards are in full support of this bill. This bill updates Title IV alcohol statutes to provide a clear and consistent regulatory framework for licensees, the ABC board, and law enforcement. This bill increases the effectiveness of Title IV enforcement by improving the swiftness, proportionality, and consistency of penalties. What is most important to our advisory boards, though, is that SB 9 promotes responsible alcohol use and reduces the harms of overconsumption. Thank you for this opportunity to support SB 9. Thank you to Senator Machicki for his years of leadership on this effort. And thank you, committee members, for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to go to Anchorage. And Allison, I'll let you pronounce your last name. You can teach me something.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is Allison Fiestock. I'm the Chief Communications Officer for the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. Thank you very much to the co-chairs and members for this opportunity to speak in favor of Senate Bill 9 today. This bill contains provisions that will directly impact the health and wellness of Alaskans, and more specifically, beneficiaries of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. Beneficiaries of the trust include Alaskans who experience substance use disorders, mental illness, developmental disabilities, Alzheimer's disease and related dementias, and traumatic brain injuries. And while beneficiaries experiencing substance use disorders can be explicitly linked to alcohol misuse, we know that alcohol misuse can have negative health impacts on all of our beneficiary groups. The bill before you represents the efforts of a stakeholder-driven process, one that has garnered the unprecedented support of the public health community and the industry. Over the years, the Trust has been an active partner in Title IV reform efforts, along with a multitude of other partners representing industry, public health, and public safety. We've been involved with these conversations because we recognize that updates to Title IV could have a positive impact on our beneficiaries. And we also know that, in addition to the health-related impact, alcohol misuse comes with a significant economic cost. A recent McDowell report that was commissioned by the Trust estimated the cost of alcohol misuse in Alaska in 2018 was $2.4 billion. This bill creates a rational regulatory structure and a state licensing system, controls online alcohol sales, limits youth access to alcohol, and promotes responsible alcohol use. It does these things while simultaneously supporting a fair business environment. And it's for these reasons that the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority is in support of this bill. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your testimony today. We're going to go back to Palmer and see if we can get Mr. Hertel, Mr. Jerome Hertel. Are you there?
Can you hear me, Mr. Chairman?
We can.
Okay. Thank you. I apologize for that. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Jerome Hertel, CEO, Alaska State Fair. My testimony today is in support of SB 9 in its current amended form. SB 9 cleans up an interpretation issue that the State Fair has been dealing with for many years, and it provides for an easy transition to a license category that allows us to operate as we have been for the past 38 years. On behalf of our 500 members and over 370,000 people who attend the fair and the off-season events, we thank you, Senator Machicki, for sponsoring SB 9 and for your consideration, the committee's consideration, to move this bill forward. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to go up to the Golden Heart City in Fairbanks. And Mr. Cervantes, owner of the Banks Ale House, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and fellow committee members. My name is Michael Cervantes. I am the owner-operator of the Banks Ale House up here in Fairbanks. I am calling in today to testify in support of SB 9 as is currently written. As you've heard from many community members throughout the state. This title rewrite's been in, you know, I don't even know, you know, it's been, what, 11 years now, almost 12 years that it's been in the works. And as you've heard, and I'm in agreement with a lot of others, this needs to go ahead and get put to rest a little bit. We need to go ahead and clarify, get the pieces clarified, and get this title more modernized. And if we can get that pushed through this committee today and on in through the rest of the legislation to get this taken care of this year, it would be a great helpful impact for all aspects and all stakeholders that have put all the time and effort into it. There's just so much more I'd love to say, but you guys have heard it so many more times. But as an owner-operator up in Fairbanks for over 10-plus years now, I think it's important that this committee move this bill forward and we go ahead and get moving forward on getting this title rewritten, modernized. And it might not be the win-win for everybody, but it is the compromise that the stakeholders have come up with, and I think it's the best bill they've got right now to put in front of you and everybody else in the legislation to get it put through and then fight another day on any little bits and pieces after that. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it. But again, please support, push this bill forward so we can go ahead and get Title IV wrapped up. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. It appears that we have indeed captured everyone on the list. So I will now close public testimony. Public testimony is closed. We do have Senator Michicki here, Mr. Jackson, are available for questions. Any committee discussion, I'd like to offer the Senate President an opportunity to come to the table with Conrad if he'd like to comment on anything that he's heard. Senator Stedman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just need a little bit of help on understanding the 12,000 population number with the one brewery. Most only have one committee on one community larger than 12,000. That's if you count the whole borough. So if you could help me with that.
Yeah, if you can just take a brief at ease, Mr.
Brief at ease. Record. Senator Michicki, do you have all your information you need?
Yes. I had my notes back at my desk, and I think there's a few things to talk about. I've spoken to many of these folks through the years, and What specific question did you have, Senator Stedman, about the one from 1 to 9,000 to 1 to 12,000?
The 12,000 number versus there was a call in that apparently it's now 3,000, and I just want to understand better, why it was 12,000, not 10,000 or 9,000 or 8,000 or some other number.
So I think all of you remember about this bill. Thank you for that great question, Senator Stedman. This bill is not a special interest bill. It's an every interest bill, which makes it really tough. Normally, sometimes what we do is we go with the loudest voice or the voice with the most influence in the building. We have everyone in this club. And when you try to change something that has everyone in the club, everybody has input and finds this perfect solution that everyone equally dislikes. So what happened with the breweries, and one of the comments that was made was that, yeah, the established breweries like this because they get to guarantee their business model. That's not the case at all. They were never behind population limits. They eventually agreed to them because of the group coming together. And part of that deal, and it was a collection of things that happened. So one of the testifiers today talked about all the things that they do in their brewery, which are currently not legal under Alaska law. The fundraisers, the community groups, the fun. Remember the whole thing about fun that happened with the board a couple of years ago? Those things are illegal. So what the deal is they all came together on this deal. They go from a soft close at 8 p.m. Today in a brewery, you can get your three drinks, which is the maximum for a tasting room. Get your three beers right at 8 o'clock. You can walk in at 7:55, and you can sit there and drink them forever. Part of that is a hard close at 10. So you can order up to your three until 10 p.m., but at 10 p.m., the doors close, everybody's out. It limits new tasting rooms to 1 in 12,000. It was previously 1 in 9,000. It means if you have a community of 24,000, you can have two of them. Even today, with today's current law, before Senate Bill 9 passes, there were two applications for breweries. There's limitations right now. There were two applications for breweries in Cordova, and the board had to choose between one of the two. So the other thing that came along with that is they can have four permitted events through the year. They can have some community activities. The things that the testifier said that they're doing now that are illegal, which I found interesting, become legal. And if you remember when the board tried to do the new rules that were going to define what they couldn't do, and the word fun was used in that, they had 1,200 pages of public testimony against it. The industry is changing. This bill tries to place the industry where it is today, the way it operates. And you just heard some things on here in public testimony. I think there's some misunderstandings. And I'm really glad you asked that question because I hope that clarifies it somewhat. So that number was drawn. It leaves ample opportunity for expansion in many communities. Some communities are at their limits, but what we find now is the way that we pass the marijuana laws, where you can have a blinking marijuana leaf on every corner, now that industry is starting to ask for some level of population control because you can't have a facility on every corner. They can't all survive. We're hoping that people really carefully think about their investment. We want them to succeed. We think it's the right mix. If the legislature disagrees, that's fine. But I want them to disagree on facts, not on urban legends. Thank you. Can I make a couple other comments, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
So what the original bill does, there seems to be a misunderstanding from a region of the state that you may have heard is rapidly growing in population. This bill provided significant increases in local control. So this was also a problem in Soldotna, we're a somewhat sleepy but active town in the winter. We blossom in this huge population in the summer when things are going on, and they wanted more control about licensing. So this bill does a few things that dramatically increase local control.
We already had that increase on applicants or municipalities being able to go to the ABC board and say, we think we have the wherewithal and the ability and certainly have the interest. This year we'd like you to issue 4 more licenses, and we want to go out and find the successful folks that will take those licenses and build a new restaurant in our community. We already had that in the bill. The only thing the amendment did in judiciary was add another license type. So I think they believe that that happened in judiciary. They didn't realize that it was a relatively minor addition of a license type or license types to that amendment. And then the other amendment was treating the Alaska State Fair as though it was a bar. They can have unlimited events there. And the only thing I have to say, being a big fair of the Alaska State Fair, we all together, I introduced the bill, the Save the Fair bill, you all remember, because I support what the fair represents and what it does. It didn't come from that region. It came from us, because we recognize that value. And we're trying to find a balance on how the fair should operate. Should it be a bar without a bar license? Or should we find another balance? And we know that all the partners are working together for the perfect solution. Right now, the amendment that occurred in judiciary essentially allows them to operate in essentially an unlimited manner. They would have been shut down a few years ago for any alcohol distribution. We extended it with that bill that gave us, I think we have 6 years remaining. I'd have to get a nod from folks back there on the bill that we passed, but that gave them time for us to come together with something else that was fair, that made sense, and that supported the Alaska State Fair. So we hear things, and I think there's some misunderstandings, and people, of course, always spin things, but this bill is very supportive of more local control. We want them to have the ability to manage it. We want them to have the ability to enforce the laws with a local police department. We also added that you can take licenses from the borough and bring them into the city, which you cannot do before. So there are significant benefits to municipalities in this bill that it doesn't seem the public may be aware of. So I'm glad we had this discussion. The comment that Senate Bill 9 is an economic barrier from the mayor of Wasilla proves that we have not communicated the benefits to local municipalities that occur in this bill, because the things that are in it for the local control and the additional licenses are not in law today. It dramatically expands control for municipalities. So we'll make some phone calls and see if we can get folks to understand that. And I appreciate you having public testimony and allowing me to address a couple of those issues today. So thank you.
Other questions from committee members? I'd like you to comment if you, I need to refresh your memory. I've got some notes here on the, about this, the conversation around distributors. In many states can ship direct to consumers. And if you have any comments on those comments.
I don't think that's a huge change. I hate to get out in front of the several hundred people from all interests instead of just special interests that have gotten to this point. I'd like to have some discussion. I've been bouncing some notes back and forth with those groups. I don't think it's a significant change and likely is not a negative change to the bill, but I would rather comment on that later if that becomes an amendment and we discuss it on the record, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think he brings up a good point and something that we should have a conversation about in more detail here going forward. Okay, seeing no further comments from committee members, we are setting an amendment deadline for Monday, January 24th at 5 p.m. Our intention is to bring SB 9 back mid to late next week. Please note SB 9 will not be listed on our schedule for next week, coming out this afternoon, because we need to see what amendments we will receive. That's going to help drive our timeline decision. SB 9 will be brought up under bills previously heard, not a new phenomenon in this building. And we're going to set this bill aside for now, but we will give as much advanced public notice as reasonably possible. So our next meeting is tomorrow, January 21st, 9 a.m. Senator Stedman will be back at the wheel, and OMB will be presenting the governor's 23 budget proposal. Any questions from committee members? Seeing none, we're adjourned at 2:10.